want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I haven't ministered on this particular scripture for some time, but I got to reading and meditating on this, and the Lord just took me through. And so we'll be coming up a little bit different side of the mountain. And this side of the mountain will be more of our faith or our trust in our Heavenly Father. And this is an opportunity. It's a Bible study that we can come. Why do we come to church? You know, I've often asked you that when I've ministered. Why do we come? So that we can fill a seat, so that we can plunk our offering in. You know, everything we do is for a purpose. Amen. And we're a family. And this is a fueling station. When your car is running low on fuel, what do? Just say, it's not a problem. It'll just keep going. Not a problem. I got faith. No, we've got to take it into the proper station and get it fueled up. And there are individuals that think they don't need to fuel their spiritual life. But we need to meditate on the Word of God so that understanding can come into our heart, so that we can see God's purposes for our life, and then we take hold of those purposes, and then we grow in the wisdom of God. And really, as we grow in God's wisdom, we get the blessings, because it's a manifold wisdom that comes as we act on the knowledge, as we believe that we receive, as we move on to revelation understanding, and then we act on that, and then we get the promises, but at the same time, we're growing up. And things are moving in our lives. So anyway, I want to go to verse 5 there, Proverbs 3:5. And like I said, this is a Bible study. And Pastor Nancy said, you know, pastors need to preach sheep food. Amen. So this is sheep food tonight. Something, you know, I could preach on what's your dream for 2019? I can preach on, you know, what addictions do you want to stop? There's several things you could do, but if we just meditate on God's Word and learn how to trust our Father, learn how to get to know our Father, nothing will be beyond our reach. Just like, because I know Teresa, and I have a relationship with Teresa, and frankly, I can call Teresa and say, hey, Teresa, do you have this, or could you do this for me? And she says, sure, Pastor, not a problem. But we have built a relationship of trust over the years, and I don't just call her and say, hey, do this. You know, but at the same time, we have a relationship. And you know, with my spouse, I have a relationship with him. When I need to go get groceries, I don't go in, the bedroom in the morning and get down on my knees and say, oh, honey, please, could I have the checkbook so that I could go get groceries today? No, because I know him, and we build a trust with one another. Besides, I hold the checkbook. Anytime I need it. No, we've built trust over the years. And there's certain limits that we'll call one another to, you know, if we exceed those limits or what have you. Now, young people, that limit for you may be $5. You know, used to be $50 for us. It's grown past that, okay? You know, spending $50 on groceries was big back in 1980s, right? Okay. And we were believing God for just our next $5 back at that time, just to pay a bill. So in that respect, you could tell if it wasn't the checkbook or not. But I go to several grocery stores, and I might go to Dillard's, and I might make a few stops, you know what I mean? And I'm not begging him or calling him on the phone, can I do this? You understand? Because we've built a relationship. We've talked about these things. I know the benevolent nature of my husband, that he likes me to look nice in front of y'all. Okay? But... And he likes me to look nice for him. Okay, again, I know the benevolent nature of my Father God. And I don't have to go begging for things, because I know, one thing I know in my redemptive rights and privileges, I'm getting to my message any time now, is that I'm healed. You see, Jesus already paid the price, so I don't have to beg for it. Now, there are certain things that can stop up that healing process. Really, the power of God, the healing power of God, lives inside of me. And, you know, I can eat a whole bowl of broccoli, but if I'm not walking in love, that healing power is going to be stopped up from going and working in the area I need. Yeah, I'm a vitamin taker. We went out to lunch the other day, and I took my vitamins, and the person said, now you're taking your nutrients, right? In other words, you didn't get it through your food. Now you're taking it with, you know, all your vitamins. Exactly. But, you know, I bless my food. And I extract all the nutrients I can, but I'm wise. I take vitamins. I take different supplementation that, as God leads me in. And you just have to be led by the Lord in those things. But I have a trust that the healing power of God's working in me. Why? Because it says in 1 John chapter 3 that if we believe on Jesus and if we walk in love, that we will be assured before Him. And if I'm believing and I'm walking in love, that means that healing is taking place in my life. And I can believe that I can receive it by faith and know that it's working in me. Any time of the day, I do not have to go to the throne of grace here at church. I don't have to drive clear to Cedar Rapids, come into the sanctuary and kneel down here and say, God, I need healing. I can do it back in my house. I can do it in my car. I can do it wherever I'm going. Why? Because it lives inside of me. In other words, this isn't necessarily the throne of grace. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But we come and we receive knowledge of the Word of God. And pastors are anointed, ministers are anointed to teach and preach. And I tell you what, there are things that you will get in the house of God that you're not going to get on live stream all the time. There may be a time where you need to watch live stream because for whatever reason. But a majority of the time, spiritually speaking, you're not going to get what you need unless you're in the places that are conducive for spiritual growth. You're going to get more out of what you respect. You're going to get more out of what you honor. You're going to get more out of what you revere. And if you can't leave your home and come to the church of God and be around your family and listen to anointed teaching and preaching, you're not going to get everything you need to get. Well, that was all free. Verse 5, and let's just read through. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And we're going to read clear through to verse 18 there, okay? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. It doesn't that sound wonderful? That's how we're supposed to live. And in verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now that life lives inside of us today in this new covenant. So we read it in that light, all right? And in the Old Testament, we can see the shadows of the new. Anytime you hear or you talk about the life of God or the tree of life, no, that was restored to us. What Adam lost was restored to us as the children of God. So it lives inside of us. Now, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So to have fellowship or to have really a faith or trust, because that's what that word trust means. It means a bold, confident, secure, sure, to feel safe, be careless. So when we trust God, we're confident. We're bold about it. There's a bold confidence. There's an expectation. And that's what Pastor Jay's saying. The enemy is after that boldness. He's after that determination. And if we do not take daily times where we're honoring, where we're revering God and the witness of the Spirit of God in our life, that determination will be chopped away at, so to speak. And the enemy wants to come and that steal your determination, steal your resolve. And many times we don't realize it, but we just give it right to him. What do you mean? When we look away, when we get distracted, and we've all been there, done that, had the t-shirt, when we don't put God first in our day. Well, I heard somebody recently say, I just haven't been taking time with the Lord like I need to. And I've been, you know, it just feels like sometimes I'm running on empty. And I'm thinking, you know, we've all been there and done that. But there's a time and a place where you're gonna go shipwreck, or the oil is going to burn out in your car. Yeah. And this particular person, you know, was in a key position in this church. And God dealt with me. You should have been more bold with them about that. You know, I don't want to be everybody's big kahuna, but again, when God tells me to. Because they're going to burn out. There are times that we have to, you know, eat an apple and run. Get in the car. But you better do what you know to do at the time. Praying in the Holy Ghost, quoting scriptures, turn on Brother Copeland or Dad Hagen on your iPad if you, you know, loud as you can so you can hear it. Put in a good seat. Do something to build yourself up spiritually so that your trust in the Lord will not be undermined. So number one, we've got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we can go over to chapter 4 there, and let's read verse 20. We're all familiar with this, but let's read it again. I like steak, but I'm going to eat it again soon. This is a good steak here. T-bone, medium well, with some Worcestershire sauce on it. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You're not going to find them if you get distracted and start looking backwards into the old life, into the old habits, into the old things. What mama and daddy taught me. Well, some of it may be good, but not all of it may be. We're not going to find anything in front of us if we're looking in back of us. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And we have to be steadfast about growing in God's knowledge, about meditating on his word, about being in the places that are conducive for spiritual growth. And if we notice that we're starting to fade in areas, if we notice that we're starting to get weak spiritually in areas, weak physically, when you're weak physically, something's going on spiritually. When you're weak spiritually, it will affect you physically. It works hand in hand. But when we're building character, which part of that is faith, love, gentleness, peace, kindness, joy, when we're building these things spiritually, we're feeding our spirit, we're acting on God's word, we're walking in faith, we're becoming more wise, we're receiving the promises of God, and yet we're acting in character, and therefore we're being built up, we're gassing our tank. But when we're not walking in character and we're getting offended at the littlest things around us, it affects us both spiritually and physically. And we get distracted and we start looking around and we start yielding to the lies of the enemy. This person doesn't like you and you should probably leave that church and go do this. Or you should leave that job because your boss is always asking you to do something. You prayed for a job. You got one. Yeah. Dummy, keep it. Yeah. Keep your job. Yeah. Dummy, I said that in love, okay? It's kind of like when the child goes out into the road and a car is coming. Do you say, hey, little blessing, would you please come on in? Hey, get in here. Don't be ignorant. Get out of the road. Don't give your job up. Don't give up the blessings of God for the enemy's lies. You're not dumb. Say, I'm not dumb. I'm wise. Stay in the church that fuels your tank. Stay in the church that fuels your tank. Better yet, help the fueling station. Help us out in this fueling station. Help us to maintain some good oil life so it doesn't get all gummy and gooey. All right, let's go back. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, because it's your heart that is developed with character as you trust in the God of all character. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't look back to the ways that the world has done it and try to get your answers in life. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. There are some things you learn from mom and dad. There's some things you've learned from your parents, from your teachers, things you've learned from worldly examples that are right, but then a lot of them aren't. You know, we watched the news today, and 99% of it's not right. I mean, honestly, the ultimate fake news era. So we can't go by that. And we shouldn't be dogging our president, and we shouldn't be dogging other politicians. I don't agree with everybody, but we should be praying for them, and we should be helping them, not trying to trip them up. And certainly we should not be listening to lies about our president. Well, just moving right along. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, secondly, we need to fear the Lord. But part of fearing the Lord is departing from offense. Part of fearing the Lord is departing from distractions of sin. Part of fearing God and revering Him is departing from things that pull on our spirits and drain us spiritually. And really drain us physically, because remember, it works hand in hand. Part of fearing God is saying, Father, what pleases you in my day? And the only thing truly that can please Him is if we start our day out in worship, in praise, putting His word before our eyes, praying in the Holy Ghost to build ourselves up. And my friend, character. Building character. Walking in the Spirit is yielding our lives to building the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Temperance? Yes. Fear the Lord. So what does fear mean there? Well, I'm glad you asked. To revere, stand in awe, honor, respect, cause astonishment and awe, be held in awe, inspire reverence or godly fear. When I get up in the morning, I ought to be in awe of God. And I start out my day just worshiping Him in awe of what a wonderful, awesome God He is. And I just start to say, Father, I thank You for this day. I worship You. I bless You. And it inspires me to revere Him even more. And I remind Him not of everything I need, but I remind Him of what He's already given me. And I thank Him for what He's done. And sometimes I get my confession sheet out, or sometimes I just speak it out of my mouth as I remember it. But I start thanking Him for all that He's done in my life. And I start thanking Him for all that He's done for my husband and I, and for this church and this ministry. And I start thanking Him. And sometimes I get people in my heart, so I'll pray for them. And I'm in awe of what God is doing, not only in our lives, but I'm in awe that if we ask, He will reach out in compassion to our brothers and sisters around us. I'm in awe that his heart is aching at times for people that have left, but yet he puts them on our heart to pray and ask for compassion. This afternoon, I was asking for mercy and compassion for somebody that left over a year ago, and several times I've prayed for them and called out for compassion, for mercy. That God would enlighten their eyes to come back to the knowledge of the truth. To revere God enough to wake up in our morning and rather than tell him everything that we don't have, start thanking him for what we do have. Start thanking him for what he has already given us in Christ. Start thanking him for our home. Start thanking him for the food that we have. I'm in awe of a God who has given his son on the cross that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Fear the Lord. But to fear the Lord is to depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, if you're fearing God, if you're thanking him, if you're in awe, if you're in a place of trust, bold confidence, and you are not speaking evil out of your mouth, health will happen in your body. Strength will happen in your bones. Did you know you don't even have to go ask for it? It will just take place because the line isn't clogged up. Because you're already thanking him for what you already have. Amen. But Pastor Debbie, it's not working for me. I know that's what you're saying. It's not working for me. But I'm in awe of a God who has already worked it. I'm in awe. He's already done the work. Okay, so if you're not at a place of faith, read the scriptures that will build your faith up. And then come to him in your home or in your car or wherever. Come to him and ask. Or come and claim your rights and privileges in Christ. Honor the Lord with your possessions. So, number three, we need to honor God. And really, fear or revering him is honoring him. And let's read a little bit what that means there. I like what Pastor Ike said once. The honor of God ignites your dominion. The honor of God ignites your dominion. In other words, when you honor God, when you revere him, when you're giving thanks to him, when you're respecting him and his word and what he's already done for you, it opens up a place that you step into. Really, he's already provided you seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But many of us are trying to gravel to get there. What we need to do is just step on in. Let that thanksgiving thrust you, ignite you into a place of dominion, of operating in his forgiveness, of operating in his healing power, of operating in his blessings. I don't have enough for Christmas, Pastor Debbie. Let the thanksgiving of God open up windows of blessing for you and your children. I am aware that God can do something overnight for you if he has to. All we have to do is say, Father, I ask you to bring some blessings to my children. Amen. And take them for yourself. Don't exclude yourself. Lord, you don't have to take care of me. Just bring them for my children. He wants to take care of you. Lord, we want some nice stuff for Christmas. I'm asking you. I don't know how it's going to happen. Can't go out and get a second job and come up with it in 4, 5, 6 days here. But we want some nice stuff, Father. Okay, got stuff to do. You take care of that, and I'll take care of my stuff here. Now, Lord, I ask for mercy anywhere I've missed it. But I tell you what, Lord, I'm not going to sit on the condemnation train. So if I've missed it, show me. And I'm asking for your mercy. I'm asking, you know, that's how I talk to God. Of course. yours. If I know I missed it in an area, I come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I have some remorse. But God wants us to just come. And if you've missed it, just say, I'm sorry. And then move on and say, Lord, I know maybe I should have done that. You know, you told me to do this particular thing. Or maybe I lost my job because I kept, you know, I was late all the time. Or I was lazy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was late and lazy. And get your lazy behind up out of bed and do what God tells you to do. And next year, you won't have to gravel, okay? You don't even have to gravel right now because God will, all he wants to hear you say is, I trust you. I'm sorry that I didn't do what you told me to do last year, Lord. I'm sorry. And that's why I'm in the position I'm in. Truth, Lord, remember? The lady said truth. You know, Jesus said, you're a dog. Truth. I've lived like a dog. Well, anyway, that's a whole nother message. But God wants us to ask. Yeah, so moving right along, we need to honor with the first fruits of all of our increase. And you might as well just give the tenth and then give offerings on top of that. Why am I saying that? You might as well just determine in your heart to do that and trust God and see the increase in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to see a whole lot less. If you don't, the devil's going to steal what you do have. That's why I'm saying you might as well get it in tune. Understand that giving 10 or tithing 10% and then giving offerings on top of that will bring you more than if you withhold. Well, just wanted to let you know that. So honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase so that your barns will be empty. No, God said they'll be filled. So honor brings blessing. Your vats will overflow with new wine. I like overflow. Not underflow. I like overflow. Not stop flow. Overflow. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. So are we on number 4 here? We need not to despise correction. Or you could say we need to receive correction. Simple Bible study here tonight. We need to receive correction. Pastor Debbie, I'm okay if the Lord corrects me, but I don't like anybody else to correct me. As if when you're hired for your job, the boss ought to say to you, you know what? I'm not going to tell you how to do the job. You just do however you want. Yeah, you just come in here and just whatever you want to do, and I'm going to pay you. Not a problem. Not in your world. It doesn't work that way. So everywhere we go, there's some form of instruction of how to operate there. And why is it that people think in the local church, well, I know, but the Lord can correct me. Pastor doesn't have to correct me. The leadership doesn't have to correct me. I understand God's been trying to correct you for the last several years and you haven't been listening. So he sends you a man or a woman to try to help you, to instruct you. And just like if you're out in the road and a semi is coming and you're going to get run over, you're going to be toast. Sometimes we get a little direct. Because we love you so much that we want to pull you out, you know. But again, I can't pull you out by saying, oh, Evan, please get out the road. Hey, get out. Get out the road. Sometimes we just have to be bold, but it's in love. It's in love. Do not despise the instruction, the chastening, the correction, the rebuke of the Lord. And sometimes, just because we need to give people instruction, you know, excuse the term, but don't get your underwear in a knot, okay? You know, you talk to people and they're... Just correct you a little bit. notify your face. Please. All I'm trying to say is, you know, I want you to do it this way. How about, sure, Pastor, no problem. Yeah, you can work on that one, okay? Let's all work on that, okay? Let's practice right now. Okay, I'm going to suggest to do it a certain way, and then you respond, sure, Pastor, no problem. Yeah, there you go. You know, about a fourth of you got in there. See, we can do that. Or somebody in your leadership. You know, makes a suggestion, and they do it sweet. You know, we tell people, be sweet. Don't manhandle the man, you know. But sometimes it doesn't matter what you say or what you do. So you pray for him. You know. You work it out. You know, and we're all family. We're going to have bad hair days. I'm not confessing that over you, but, you know, sometimes you're going to have a bad hair day. So if you're having a bad hair day, I you know, I'm going to walk in love, but at the same time, I may have to instruct you a little bit. Like, don't be walking around the halls with that face on and, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, well, I don't know where this message is going. Yeah, I can learn to handle that at home before you come here. Yeah. I'm sure that your boss doesn't want, you know, in the church, we teach people, don't bring bad attitudes in. Don't bring it to the daycare. Don't bring it into the church staff meetings. Don't do that. You know, if I ever have a bad attitude, I'm going to apologize. The staff knows that there are times when I lost my cool, but I, at the end of the day or within 5 minutes of it, because I've been, I'm sorry. I lost it. Please forgive me. Now, do what I told you to do, all right? Praise the Lord. You know, but correction. Most of us weren't taught correction properly. And when we correct people, whatever it's for, and usually, I will say this, usually it comes down to correcting people to be sweet, correcting people to walk in love, correcting people. And what happens, you can instruct somebody to do a job a certain way, but then they get an attitude and then they start taking it out on other people. So usually, somehow, if you haven't been taught properly, correction ends up with offense and attitude. You ever notice that? It can start out because I'm the one maybe that corrected you, attitude toward me. Or this is what happens many times here is because you don't want to show Pastor Jay and I attitude. You wait until you get home and show it to your kids and to your... Or... You've about had enough. Now, you don't want to show it to Pastor Jay and I because you're an angel. Okay? You would not say or do anything to come against us. Praise the Lord. But then you go to your coordinator. It's like, I don't like that. Well, you know, you're late. Excuse me. Okay? Correction. Okay? We love it. So let's practice again. Whether it's me or somebody else that's just making a suggestion, you know, this is going to help us. This is going to help us with our trust in the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we must believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But to diligently seek Him is to revere, put in awe. It's to fear the Lord. It's to honor Him. And if we're doing all that, we are honoring His children. We're honoring His discipline in our lives. And sometimes He uses other people to do that. And so if we leave that part out, you understand? how we become a freak there. And spiritually, we start lacking. We start walking around like this. You want me to prove that to you? Okay, let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. What was he just talking about before that? Let's back up to verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now, fathers chasten or give instruction, give correction. There, you know, pastors have to instruct. We instruct with the word predominantly. Give correction. It says, you know, be instant in season, out season. You know, he told Timothy, Paul told Timothy, give instruction, rebuke. Yeah. Do what you have to do. Yeah. Use the word of God. Yeah. Don't do it with compulsion. Right. Don't beat it over their heads. But there is correction in it. Verse 8, but if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us. We've had bosses that corrected us. We've had leadership that's corrected us. And we paid them respect. We're supposed to. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. So, I mean, correction is okay if we're not hitting somebody over the head. But at the same time, and we teach our staff and we teach our leadership, appreciate people. Put that first. Let people know how much you love them and care for them. Then they'll receive the correction. And we're not going around trying to hit everybody with a stick anyway. I just assume not correct anybody already, okay? But if somebody gives me a reason to, it's because I love them. That's all. I mean, all right. Now, we don't pull over and park on correction around here. That we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. That's why you just have to stir yourself up in the midst of it. Nobody likes to be corrected, but we go home and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They love me enough to be honest. Well, glory to God. You know, when Fred gets home, I don't think we have any Fred, so I can use Fred. Fred, pastor corrected me today. Praise the Lord. Ethel, the pastor corrected me. Teresa corrected me today. Glory to God. What are you, nuts? No, it says that the Lord said you didn't have the blessing because you didn't serve me with gladness. I'm serving him with gladness. Praise the Lord. Therefore, you see, because we've been willing to be chastened by the Lord and by the people he's put in our lives, and that really starts in our childhood with our parents, but many times they don't train us right. They don't correct right. Now, notice there afterward, it yields chastisement or chastening or training or whatever, yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Say, I enjoy training. I stir myself up in the midst of training. What does somebody do if they're training for a triathlon and they get up in the morning, you know, 4 a.m. because they got to start early, and they start exercising? Yeah, they need to spend time in the Word and, you know, prayer too, and they just start stirring themselves up. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to do good in this triathlon. Thank you, Lord. And they just stir themselves up, and then they start lifting weights, and they start running, and those muscles are... And they just have to keep stirring themselves up. and they have to just keep drinking water and eating nutrients and getting protein and the right carb and fat and protein ratios, and they just have to, they have to do what they got to do, and all the while they're burning and they're training and their flesh is saying, will you stop already and feed me a hamburger and fries? And please put a shake in there. I mean, we did a lot of training last week, okay? But you just keep burning through it. You just keep burning through it. You just keep burning through the pain. You just keep burning through the thoughts. Lord, just one day where I can slap somebody. Just one. Just one day. How could I slap one? How could I? Just one day I can have a bad hair day. Just one day I can curse. Just one day I can just fall apart. Just one day. That will be the one day that you let an onslaught in. Don't let it all out. You're not letting it all out. You're letting it all in. Thank you. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Burn through the pain. Burn through it. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated or turned the wrong way, but rather be healed. Pursue peace. Oh, here we go. It always comes back to this. Pursue peace with all people. You see, that's what will make you spiritually weak. Pursue peace with all people. Receive correction as needed. I'm not saying everybody's your big kahuna. Need to come and correct you. You know, man needs to correct somebody else's wife. No. We don't do that. I'm just saying if there are instances where your boss needs to instruct you or correct you on something, just take it. Take it with stride, okay? Burn through the pain of not liking correction. Burn through it. And go home and dance. And if the Lord's hooked you up with a ministry, hooked you up with this church, and you don't always like it, because the Word corrects me. Every time I go to service, they got, you know, God, you got my number. Take the correction of the Word. Learn to be happy with it. Learn to love it. Learn to hold fast. I can tell, by the way, some of you are looking at me like, really? You don't look like you're going to go home right now and say, hey, Fred, I'm happy about that message, but keep coming back. You're going to get there. Keep on. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the peace of God, lest any, oh, here we go. Always comes down to this. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. You know, food will do it. Let go my egg go! Brandy made us keto cupcakes the other day, right? They were good. She made two of them. I asked him if he wanted one. He said, maybe later. Oh.
I just realized it's not there anymore.
And I went on my carb manager, and I worked it out so I could eat two of those things. And I said, hey, honey. Sure you don't want that? He's like, he was sleeping. Okay. another keto cupcake. But the next day I said, I'm sorry, honey. I ate the cupcake. I know. So, but it sure was good. Anyway, you know, don't lose your peace over it. Don't get offended. See, we didn't run out of the lemon bites, Etta, because we got plenty of those, you know. He got some lemon bites, so we're good there. Yeah. For you know that afterward, when he, Esau, wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. Really, he found no place for repentance because his heart wasn't right. He just was suffering, you know, he didn't want what's the word? The correction. There was consequence. He didn't want the consequence of it. All right? But if our heart is, Lord, I'm truly sorry, and I'll take the consequence. I'll take whatever I need to, I'll take my licking and keep on ticking. All right? Now, let's go back real quickly. Lastly, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So we know that correction comes because we're loved. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Happy is a man who finds wisdom. Number 5, we need to find wisdom. Find wisdom. And if we just go next door to chapter 4 there, and it says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Then go on down to verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, wisdom comes after knowledge and understanding. So we have the knowledge of God's word that becomes revelation, which is understanding. Becomes revelation, understanding. And we act on that understanding. I call it faith's understanding of the heart. So we act on that understanding, and we get the blessings, but we also grow in the manifold wisdom or multifaceted wisdom of God. And because we grow in that wisdom, we can do all the above. We can do all the 4 things. We can trust the Lord. We can fear, revere Him. We can honor Him. We can receive correction, instruction. We can avoid yielding to offense. When it comes down to it, let me read something here. In order to have a strong faith that endures through all the tests and trials, we must build our natural and spiritual lives on the solid foundation of God's word. We must look to the knowledge of God's word, look to the knowledge of his word, grow in an understanding that becomes the wisdom of God. So therefore, it's a progression. And it becomes, it overlaps. It says, let's go back to chapter 4 there. Remember there? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in order to find wisdom, we've got to have knowledge. And then that knowledge has got to, we've got to meditate on the knowledge of God's word. It becomes understanding. And then we act on that understanding or face understanding of the heart. And it becomes wisdom. So, thus, number 5, find wisdom. And that's how we walk in wisdom every day. That's how we build character. Because a person of wisdom is a person of faith. Remember in Matthew 7:24, it's the hearers and the doers that become wise. They're the ones that are building their house on the rock. It's the foundation of God's word. And we become wise, and therefore we get up in the morning and we begin to, we're in awe of the Lord. We're trusting Him. We're inspired to start our day out with worship and praise, no matter how we feel, because there are going to be days where we feel down. But we have to get up in the midst of it, sometimes in the middle of the night when the onslaught of thoughts are coming, and we stay in a bubble, so to speak, of peace. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. because we're wise. We're not dumb. We're wise. In 1 John 3:18, I'm going to stop with this. 1 John 3:18. Verse 18 there. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. In other words, that's a faith term. It means to trust. What are we talking about? Trusting the Lord. We assure our hearts before Him. Who is Him? Our Heavenly Father. We have a trust. We have a bold confidence before our Father. Why? If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Why do we have confidence? Because we're walking in awe of our God. We're revering Him. We're reverencing Him. We're receiving. We stay in the fear of the Lord or in the reverence of the Lord. We're not afraid. We know we have authority. And we're in awe of who God is and how He's working in our lives by simple words that come out of our mouth in confidence. The enemy has to flee. And we're building our character daily, and we're walking in love, and our whole attitude is to just be a blessing to the Lord and to those around us. Have we made mistakes? Sure. Just like everybody. But why are we here? So that we can learn to live victoriously. So that we can learn to live a life that is full of peace and joy, and we can take it to work, and we can take it home to our husband and wife if they're not coming. Our children, we can walk in that joy and that confidence so that they're not living in a house that feels like there's a time bomb going off. You may have seasons where problems are going on in your home, but my friend, it shouldn't be that way all the time. You may have seasons where upheaval is happening because the devil is targeting you, but it shouldn't be happening all the time. Your home is your refuge. This church is our refuge. The friends that we keep, it's a circle of refuge. People of faith. People that believe the same way. That we can pray for others. We can take each other's hand. And it's not somebody that's falling apart on me 24/7. Well, so you can stand up, trust in the Lord. I'd like to just end with this. Maybe your daughter is dating and the young man comes up to the door, knocks on the door. You answer the door, got a headband on. Got snot running down his nose. Jeans with holes. Hey, yo! Here for your daughter. Who's going to let him in? I think he proved himself unfaithful in the first 30 seconds. Okay, so another, this is next weekend. And you hear a, and Susie runs down the stairs and say, oh, he's here. Daddy, he's here. I'll see y'all later. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. What's this? So Daddy goes outside. Walks to the car. He could yell, but he thought he would use more respect than he was given. So he walks out to the car and says, you may leave now. I'm here for Susie. Nobody with that little respect comes and dates my daughter. Goodbye. But, I've got a shotgun inside. Would you like to see it? The third weekend, John comes, He's not in a three-piece suit, but he looks nice. Nice shirt, nice press clothes. Comes up to the door. Ding dong. Dad answers the door. Hello, sir. How are you tonight? I'm good. How are you? I would like to come. Here's some candy for you and the wife. Here you go. Well, thank you. Who are the flowers for? Well, they're for your daughter, sir, if that would be okay with you. Okay, well, come on in. Sit down. Let's get to know one another. Susie comes down. Dad says, go back upstairs. I'm getting to know Johnny. In a period of about 3 months, this goes on. Very respectful. Takes Susie out to the nice restaurants. Doesn't ask Susie to pay. Passes all the tests. Gets to the place, and they have a good witness about the young man. So the young man comes over one night, and Susie and the young man are just watching, you know, a good old-fashioned John Wayne Western movie together. If you want to sit down, you can, or we're going to stop any minute now, I promise. And Susie says, Johnny, you've proven yourself over and over. I'm just enjoying spending time with you. I trust you. Did you know that God proved himself in our lives first with Jesus Christ? His son went to the cross, the ultimate sacrifice of reverence and respect for his children. He gave his son. And he's proven himself over and over and over and over and over to where when we're just sitting down, we wake up in the morning or in the afternoon, rather than just say, Lord, I need this. Lord, God, why isn't this happening? Rather than dishonor him and disrespect him, we come to him in awe. We come to him in reverence. We say, Father, I haven't done everything right, and I'm sorry, maybe I missed it in this area, and I didn't, but I'm asking for mercy and compassion. And I just give you glory. And I just give you honor. And Lord, I just trust you. I just enjoy your presence. And we can revere him. We can respect him. The fear of the Lord. Amen.